This morning, as we take a little time to read the Lord's Word for our meditation, we just want to be challenged in more ways than one to look at this idea of fullness from a slightly different perspective. Now, we've been talking about that fullness that comes with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we say, well, that's we can understand. And we talked about the fullness that will come because of the Lord's promise to the church, and we can also fathom that. Now, this morning, we make a little further progress and take a look at this idea of fullness that will come upon individuals. And I think that is the most challenging for us, because it is relevant to us all. How do we understand the idea of fullness if it comes down to the individual? Can I speak of being filled on an individual basis? Colossians 2:10 tells us yes. But now we're going to see the actual reality of how that works in the life of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes we forget that the apostles were actually very, very ordinary people. Just 40 days before this incident happened, the disciples were scared people. Just 40 days earlier, they were locked in their own homes. They didn't dare to venture out lest they were challenged by the religious authorities and checked for their relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, within this 40 days, how could they have been so transformed? And so we ask ourselves, what happened? In the last 40 days, Jesus appeared to them again and again, went through what they are needed to understand. In other words, they had special Bible study sessions. And then suddenly something transpired. And we're going to take a little bit of time to look at these things here and to look at this whole idea of the transformation process. Can we think about the transformation process? Can we understand it? Well, this is our challenge this morning. And we turn to the book of Acts chapter 2 to arrive at this understanding. And I think that what Peng Hui said this morning is just relevant, talking about history. Because the book of Acts is a book of history. And it is an important book of history, and we want to learn lessons of history. History never totally repeats itself. There will always be variations. I think this is important. So would we actually see a situation like this happen? Here we are gathered together. Will the building tremble? Will the Spirit of God come upon us exactly the same way? The answer is no. But can we learn an important lesson here? And the answer is yes. Well, let's take a look at his word here in chapter 2. And we see this word here in chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come. And the word fully come literally means fulfill. Or when the day of Pentecost is full, it has come in its fullness, waiting, and then suddenly the Pentecost day had come. Now, that's one word called fulfilled. And then we read in verse 2, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And so we see this word being filled. So you just imagine here, we all gathered here, And the special acts of the Spirit came upon everyone there, and the whole place was filled. Okay, so then we go on further. And there appeared to them divided tongues, cloven tongues, as of fire, and each one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And began to speak with other, the better translation is other languages. Not gibberish, literal languages. As the Spirit gave them utterance or gave them the ability to say what they were going to say. Well, that's pretty amazing. So we want to ask ourselves, what lessons can we learn from this incident about fullness? Okay, and there are several lessons that I think would be important for us to consider, and I'm going to share with you this morning what it is. First, the significance has to do with promise being fulfilled. So if the Lord has given us a promise, then our part must be to ready ourselves for that promise to be fulfilled. I think this is something that we want never to take for granted. What does it mean to be given a promise and then waiting upon that promise to be fulfilled? What are we looking at? First, there was a prophetic word that God would pour out His Spirit. Promise number one. Promise number two, the Lord Jesus said to His disciples that He will give them the Holy Spirit. Promise number two. Okay? Now the question is when that would be fulfilled. Not if, when. The part of the disciples had to be checked. Were they fearful? That had to be addressed. Were they not ready? That had to be addressed too. Were there gaps in the understanding, in the knowledge, in the confidence? That had to be looked into. And when these things are fulfilled properly, it's not the day that was important, but the promise of God that was fulfilled that is significant. So this was important for us to understand today. See, sometimes the promises of God are there. First, we have to ask, do we understand it? Two, do we believe that? Three, what do we need to do before that is going to be fulfilled? Now, that is the question. And there is something that we need to think about, and the Lord will have to help us to figure this out. So to me, the most important lesson is that of, here is the promise. And God has given us many promises, one of which is we can be filled with the Spirit of God too. Perhaps not in exactly the same way, but we will have the same person filling our hearts and our lives and our minds. And I think this is something we don't want to take for granted. So the lesson is that of promise. The second lesson that we want to look at, and I think this is important for us, is that we are now looking at power. It's not easy to look at power and understand it easily. You know, we think of the power of God, and sometimes in our mind we cannot conceive that power. We cannot imagine what it is. We don't know how to look at it. We don't know how to apply it. Sometimes we don't even believe in it. I think that's our problem. But the power of the Lord is actually promise. How do you have ministry? How do you do work in any kind of ministry without a promise power? You can't. What makes you think that when you go out there, you start a church, it will be developed, it will be accomplished according to God's word? You need that power to do God's work. There's no question about it. And without the power of God, it would not be possible. I remember 26 years ago when, went to India. Now, I don't speak Tamil. And many, many challenging problems and difficulties along the way. Some of the rural areas, the little ones came up to me and they want to see why my skin color was different from theirs. You know, and they couldn't figure out why I wasn't as dark. And so I said, yeah, go ahead and see whether some color will rub off. They couldn't figure it out, but they've never seen foreigners in some of those areas. Well, they have now, many years later. But some of those rural areas were really, really tough ones. One day, a lady came along, and she had walked 2 kilometers. And she carried a child with her. Now, that child was no longer small. That child was already 10 years old. And he suffered from meningitis. And this boy, his body was spent. His mouth was drooling. And the mother brought him to come and see me. And she had walked 2 kilometers. And it was a very painful time. And she said, can you heal him? And I had to say to her that I cannot heal him. And I'm not into healing anybody. But can I tell you about a different kind of power? A power to live, a power to care for the son, a power that will help her sustain the effort put in. Now that is a different kind of power, but still power. And I think this is something that we often don't understand, that the power of God is seen in different ways. It's not always the same way, but the same power is needed for anything, for everything in life. And I think this is something, and sometimes we think power is something that once you experience it, it will always be the same all the time. And I want to tell you that that's not always the case. Now, a few weeks ago, I was telling you that God, in His own wonderful grace, restored my hands. Now, I want to say that actually happened. Then when I came back to Singapore, they were talking about the haze. You know, and yesterday there was a forum on TV that talked about the haze, and one of the medical doctors said, you know, the biggest problem in the haze is not whether you can feel it, but it is how the body will react to it. And he was talking about this problem of the danger of inflammation. And the body will react to it and it will be inflamed and there will be other problems that will come with it. Now, just because the Lord helped me to get well in this area doesn't mean that I don't have, now I am protected. You know, I have a special aura about me and there will be, you know, that doesn't work. That doesn't mean it at all. So the power of God is still there, even though there may be problems that will come with it. So suddenly, my old asthma thing came back. And so I've needed to use my spray in the morning. Will it come back? Well, you know, you've experienced the reality of it all. Will it still come back? The answer is, it might. So I found that I needed that. Then I found that also with inflammation. And this word inflammation is a word that I dread very much. Will it hit me hard? Unfortunately, yes. So I get inflamed things. And my immune system gets hit. The moment my immune system gets hit, my good friend eczema comes back. Will it come back? Maybe milder. But it's come back. So if I shake your hands, it's going to be pretty rough again. You know what to do, right? You pray. And you pray again. And we just do it again. But I want to say that what this doesn't mean he won't come back. But there is the power of God. Now I am not so disturbed by it. Now I look at it and I say, okay, I can understand it now. I can understand it better. I understand why it comes back. I understand the haze danger. I understand the difficulties. And it is lots of challenges. But is the power of God lesser? No, just different. And this is important for us. And so we are challenged to look for and to understand that power of God that is there at work. So why I don't look so much for the physical part of it. I'm grateful for that release of the eczema problem. You know what? I know what I need to do, and I'm going to look for that release again. And I will. And I will seek it until I find it. But I know what it has to, what I have to do. I have to build this health further. And then it will come back again. But in the meantime, I learn lessons all over again. What it means to seek the Lord in prayer. What it means to look for power. Now the third lesson that we can learn is about people. Okay, now this is important. Now the people that we're talking about, who were these people who were empowered the way they were? Were they really, really special people in that sense? Not really. They were humble people. They were people who, once upon a time, some of them were fishermen. One of them was a scholar. One of them was a tax collector. If you look at them very carefully, you begin to realize they are as ordinary as you can get. But here is the lesson in Acts chapter 2. Is that ordinary people can be filled with power according to God's promise. And I think that, to me, is most uplifting. I think this is important. Talking about difficulties and problems, Pingui has always been dear to my heart for many, many years. Since he was a dental student, and I asked him, didn't you want to do medical? He said, nope. I wanted to be a dentist. I said, well, that's special. A lot of people become dentists because they can't get into medical. But it is because he wanted to be a dentist. Now, sometimes people say that I'm under pressure, under stress. I think so. Looking at everybody staring at me, it's a lot of stress, a lot of pressure. And then when I called him, I went to see my own regular dentist. And he took a look at it and said, under his magnifying glasses that he saw, he says, you've got two cracked teeth. So he says, I don't do cracked teeth. Okay? So he said, can you get somebody? He says, I know somebody who, and he says, know a couple of people. I said, well, I know one person who does teeth problems like that. And so the dental surgeon said, Dr. Tan Ping Hui would be a good person. Now, this is not advertising for him. This is to speak of him as I feel deep in my heart, you know, to see how he does this thing here. And so if you need a lot of LTC, and I don't mean Lieutenant Colonel, this would be a good man to go to. So he looked at me and he says, wow. Not very many people have two cracked teeth together at the same time. And then, of course, his dear wife was there to look after me too. And there they went. He would talk to me. Pastor, he would explain every step, every procedure there. And then add the word, sayang, sayang. Throughout, it was, I have never felt more sayanged in my life than that moment in this. And before you know it, 2 hours is very hypnotic, you know. You know, so you don't need that a lot of the thing here, but it's sayang, it's painful, sayang. You know, is it okay, sayang? Wow. And of course, I've got to go back and see him again. And I think this is interesting to see how, you know, people are what God works with. He's not going to empower other things. You know what God does? He doesn't empower music, I want to tell you. You know what He empowers? People. He doesn't empower songs. He empowers people. He doesn't empower ministry. He empowers people. That's what it is. And so ordinary people can become empowered people. But this is the experience of it all. Tomorrow I head off to Myanmar. And we are looking at a really tough situation there because the last few months they've been trying to cope with all the aftermath of flooding. And lots of people have been affected. And so our challenge is how we can minister to the people. So Nick, this week, I'll be going there to work out a plan of how we can work with the people. And you know, it's not the programs that are powerful. It's going to be people. It's going to be the way we do it. It's the way we look at things. It's the way we're going to deal with the problems that are there. You know, it's so good as we read this story to know that God can take ordinary people. God can take people who have already done their part in readying themselves, preparing their hearts and their minds, that the Spirit of God can come upon them and empower them to do His work. It is now 20 years of work in Myanmar. 20 long years. And we've established an orphanage work there. We've established a Bible school there. And we've built up a number of churches there, a good number of churches there. We got over 100 missionaries helping the people, reach the people of Myanmar with the gospel. It's going to take people. People who are empowered. Now the challenge today is how do we make this personal to us? We talk about promise. We talk about the power of the Spirit of God. We talk about people. Let's bring it down to this, our own personal level. How do we make Acts 2:4 personal to us? Maybe not in this passage directly, but certainly in the book of Romans chapter 8, we can see how we can relate to the Spirit of God in a very personal way. And Romans 8 has always been a precious passage to my heart because it talks about how the Spirit of God actually empowers us, how he comes into our life. It begins with our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of God now comes into our hearts, into our life, and then lives within us. I think that is the first part of it. And the second part of it has to do with how we understand the Spirit of God will lead us. And actually, He does this every single day, if only we know that He is leading us. So sometimes when the problems of life come, when I suddenly realize that the old asthma problem is coming back, and what do I need to do? Well, I need to use my Ventolin spray, all right? But you know, it's more than a spray. I begin to be conscious of how much I need God all over again. You see, so my consciousness of my need, of my powerlessness by myself, draws me back to seek relationship with the Spirit of God. And He will lead me to pray, all right? Now I have this eczema problem coming back. What do I need to do? I've learned lessons about faith, about praying. What should I do? Well, let's do that. Let's pray. Let's trust. Let's exercise whatever we need to ask God to help us to be conscious. And then the Spirit of God comes to us and enables us, energizes us, gives to us that necessary uplift to our heart, to our mind, to our spirit, to our life, to whatever we need to do. And I think it is exactly what it is. My testimony of the Spirit of God is not about healing. My testimony of the power of the Spirit of God very, very much has to do with how He can help us to endure, how He can help us to cope, how He can enable us to attempt and to accomplish many, many things which maybe we think is impossible. But it's there. And so, the filling of the Spirit of God, we read, and they were all filled, gives us a tremendous sense of hope within our hearts. Can we all be filled? Yes. If we really understand it, we believe with all our hearts, and we will seek to be filled with the Spirit of God. Can God empower us? Can God fill us with that necessary power? And I think the answer is very much so. And so our challenge this morning, as we partake of the Lord's table, as we have communion, our challenge once again would be to ask ourselves how this will apply to our hearts and to our lives. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You so very much that we can come to read this passage together and to see how it can apply to our hearts and to our lives. Very much we want to ask that our hearts may be stirred to desire very much the filling of the Spirit of God so that we can see Your power given to us. Perhaps not in ways that we can understand, but to realize that there is a dynamism of life and of energy and of power in our hearts that can bless our lives deeply. And so we pray, Lord, that You will help us to come to the Lord's table meaningfully. Bless our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's ask the Lord to bless us, shall we? And ask for that in faith. Let's ask for that fullness to be given to us, that fullness of blessings that we talk about. And now may this great and wonderful God, our Father, who loved us so much, He gave to us His beloved Son. That same Father, bring upon us showers of blessings, fullness of blessing because of His love. And may the Lord Jesus Christ enable us to understand what it means to abide in His love and to be so filled with that love that enables us to live in fullness of blessing. And may the Spirit of God help us to understand that there is power, a power that will come from above, that will enable us to cope with life's many challenges in health, in family, in difficult chronic situations, and to enable us to rise above all of them in the fullness of the power that is promised to us. May we seek that fullness. May we be given that fullness of blessing till the Lord Jesus returns. To Him be glory now and forever. Amen.